the first verse. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I was sucked in. I don't know if you can hear Sam Pat, Ella Dell. I mean, when they call you, say your name. When they call your name, I mean, come on, right? That's where we're at tonight. Because when he comes out and breaks the bread of life, he's calling your name. We don't have to wait till we get there and have that experience tonight. Amen. So let's sing it one more time. Amen.
I am waiting for my theophany to swing low and I'll step in on the cloud. I'll rise.
a time, but ain't God good? Amen. He's given us so many blessings. Amen. We want to go to prayer this evening, open the service. We do want to remember Ellie Patton tonight. She's homesick. And Royan Pruitt, she's sick at home with a fever. William Dexter is sick at home with a fever. Amen. We want to remember those. Amen. It's no fun having young people and children that are sick. We've all been there. Amen. I want to remember them tonight. Brother Aaron, we do want to remember as well. Be going to the Spine Institute for his back. There's a herniated disc that they're looking at. So we want to ask the Lord, come upon the scene one more time. Amen. Why don't we just go to prayer together tonight? How many would have a need? Just say, Lord, don't pass me by. Father, as we lift our hands together, we're in a sign of surrender, in a sign of need. We're not like the Laodicean age that's all around us, Lord, that says they don't need anything, that they're fine, they're well increased with goods and things of this world. But Father, we need you tonight. Lord, there's mothers and dads that have little ones at home that are sick tonight in their bodies. God, they need you to come and reduce a fever, heal pains in their bodies, headaches, Lord. How you know it so well is you took the stripes. Lord, they struck you and pain echoed through your body so that you would know how we would feel today. So, Lord, would you reach down your hand that's never too short? Lord, touch those that are in pain. We think of Brother Aaron tonight, oh God, and how he's needing to go to see a doctor and, Lord, to read the reports. But, Father, your report has said that you're already healed. So, Father, if you could extend that healing to Brother Aaron, Lord, may faith reach through that unseen realm tonight and echo back, Lord, and receive it. And may that healing be manifested in his body. And how many around the congregation that lifted their hands tonight, Lord, and they said, Father, forget me not, Lord. Don't pass by my way, Lord, and forget my need. But God, pour your blessings out one more time. God, even our enemies that would so surround us. I think of Samson, standing placed between the pillars. But the locks had grown out. The revelation was still alive. Lord, he felt back in those locks. He could feel his strength returning. May this bride that's gathered in this little sanctuary tonight reach back and feel those locks of faith. As your word is ministered tonight, Lord, you've prepared a vessel, Brother Timothy, to come and break the bread of life to us this evening. Lord, we pray that through that ministering, that breaking of that bread, Lord, that you'd reveal yourselves to us as you did to those on the road to Emmaus. Lord, may joy be restored in hearts, Lord, tonight. We love you, Father. Can you just express to him that you love him just now? Lord, we invite your presence. It's your holy presence that we need in our midst, oh God. Lord, any strangers in our gates, we want them to be welcome too in your presence. We love you tonight with a great love. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake hands with somebody? Tell them, welcome to the house of the Lord. Amen. We've got a special tonight. Want the brothers to come and receive the offering tonight. Amen. Key of F. I'm so glad Jesus set me free.
Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Thank you.
middle of my no way out, in the middle of my don't know how, I hear you whisper to me, peace be still. This is why I believe you will deliver me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful we have that confidence tonight to know, Lord, we're never alone. Because your word declares that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. That you're there with us every step of the journey, every step that we take. Lord, sometimes we look back and we only see one set of footprints, but we know, Lord, that's times that you carried us through. And we're so thankful for every moment you've been there for us and been there with us. We just ask, Lord, tonight you'd come by and speak to hearts and touch us tonight by your presence, Lord. We so appreciate you and love you and thank you, Lord, to have a place of assurance, Lord, in an unsure world and a place, Lord, that's crumbling all around us. But, Lord, we can have a firm foundation to stand upon and say, Lord, you're our provider. You take care of every situation, Lord. And we just give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Turn to Genesis 37 and verse 1. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord and amen, to be with his people. And amen. Glad to have Brother Bill Ivey and Sister Mary with us tonight. So glad to have you and be with us today and just looking forward to what the Lord has. Genesis 37 and verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren. And the lad was with his sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, and behold, we're binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And beyond the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." He told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee unto the earth?" And his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. Amen. We'll let you be seated this evening. I'd like to speak to you on faith in the unseen promise. Faith in the unseen promise. We see here that God was revealing the future or the unseen through dreams to Joseph. As we read, Joseph dreamed a dream. And in verse 5 and then verse 9, he said, "I've dreamed a dream more." You know, and the dream showed that one day his family would bow before him, and God was revealing Joseph's future position before it existed in the natural realm or the seen realm. You know, but the seen realm looked opposite. You know, immediately after the promise was given and the dream was given, everything in Joseph's life went the opposite direction. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. You know, we could go on through the story. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused. He was put into prison. And we can read that in chapter 39 and verse 20, where Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Joseph had a promise in the unseen realm, but a prison in the seen realm. A promise in the unseen, but a prison in the seen. See, this is often where faith in the unseen is tested. But even when Joseph could not see it, God was still working in the unseen realm. Amen. God was arranging his future, even though Joseph's circumstances seemed to be getting worse. It seemed to be getting harder. It seemed to be going from worse to worse to worse, you know, as just his brothers. And then he goes and thrown into a pit, and then he's sold into slavery. And it's just getting worse. And it seems like there's no way this dream or this vision would ever come to pass. But, you know, even when Joseph could not see it, God was arranging his future. God was in the unseen realm working. And we can read it in Genesis 39 and verse 21. It said, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy." Now, it's amazing that through all of this, the scripture would say God was with Joseph and showed him mercy. That while he was in the pit, God was showing mercy. That's hard to understand as we look in the circumstances that we can see with our natural eyes. Sometimes we don't see a lot of mercy. Sometimes we don't see a lot of grace. Sometimes we don't see a lot of God's intervention on our lives. But if we could just break into the unseen, that God is in the unseen realm preparing for our future. Amen. Preparing for our place that we would be, amen, because he knew that what it would take for to be able to get Joseph to the place where he could handle being second in command. He could handle that position. So God was training him, and so the circumstances were working for his good. You know, just because you cannot see God working does not mean, of course, he's not working, but the unseen realm was moving events toward the fulfillment of the promise. Amen. It was moving events toward the fulfillment of the promise, you know. And so Brother Branham will say it like this. He said, so Christians' experiences are based solely and solemnly and wholly upon rest. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, sometimes you're so tossed about with everything, but until you come to Christ, then it's all finished. And then you can rest in him and have perfect peace. So then no matter what comes or what goes, nothing can touch us without it coming through the shepherd first. He has to permit it. He said, the Bible says, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to his purpose. But it has to come through the shepherd first. Amen. He says, I am the door. No man can come to me except through me. Amen. Let me tell you, when God permits anything, it's working for your good. Amen. So everything Joseph was going through, every trial that he was had, every day that seemingly got worse and it got worse and it got worse, and it went from the brothers hating him to being thrown into a pit, almost murdered. But they finally come to the realization they didn't want to do that. They didn't want his blood on their hands, but they throwed him in the pit and then they sold him into slavery. But the whole time, God was orchestrating Joseph to the place and to the position that the unseen realm could become reality. Amen. And I believe that's the way he's doing it today. Now, your week may seem progressively getting worse, or things may seem getting worse, but God is getting you to the place, amen, that the unseen realm, the vision he has for you in his mind, he's getting you to the place, amen, that unseen realm can become a seen realm, a reality in your life. Amen. So the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It has to come to the shepherd, through the shepherd first. I am the door. No one can come in without me. Amen. Let me tell you, when God permits anything, it's working for your good. So if it's sickness, it's for your good. Whatever trial it is, it's for your good. So, amen, if it's sickness, God might heal you to show a great testimony, to give you a little something to move on for. See, all things are working together for good. But now, in all of this, Joseph never abandoned what God had showed him. He never let it go. You know, years later, amen, the dream would come to pass, and years later would come to fulfillment. But Joseph completely held on to that promise that somehow God was going to show him favor, that somehow God was going to bring him to the place that he had ordained for him in his life. You know, one thing I love about Joseph, and maybe we'll get to it later in other times, but Joseph never allowed bitterness to enter in. He never allowed unforgiveness to come, no matter what people done to him, no matter how his brothers hated him. And he would later tell his brothers, you know, this was all the Lord's doings. It was all God working behind the scenes. He didn't hold aught in his heart, but he looked at everything that this is God's will or it could not happen. Amen. And so I believe that we should also have that thought in our mind. Amen. And when Genesis 42 and verse 6, it says, Joseph's brethren came and they bowed themselves before him. Excuse me.
This was the fulfillment of the dream. The unseen promise eventually became a visible reality. It became a visible reality. And at the end of the story, Joseph explained what had been happening to his brothers. I just said, Genesis 50 and 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto me for good." So what looked like evil circumstances in the seen realm was actually God positioning Joseph in the unseen realm. So what looked like evil, God was turning around for his good. Now, I believe if he could have that same attitude that Joseph had, that whatever is happening in this realm, whatever's happening among us, around me, in my circumstances, whatever happened today, God is only using it to position me in the unseen realm. He's using it to position me in his thoughts, what he wants for me in my life, what he's wanting me. Listen, he wants more for you than just a good job or a good car or a good home. He's got something far greater in his mind. Amen. That is the eternities, the realms of the eternities where we will reign with him. So he's working it for our good. Amen. And I want to just go through a few examples as we look at this, because just because you got a promise does not mean the circumstances will match up to the promise. Many times it goes the opposite. We can read about it in Genesis chapter 15 of Abraham's life. We know Abraham very well, heard a lot about him, but he given the promise of his seed. He would have a seed. And instead of going and getting better, you know, Abraham got older, he got weaker, it got worse. Seemed like the circumstances, you know, Sarah remained barren. There wasn't no hope. There wasn't no thing, nothing going on. But amen. Paul would say that he didn't look at his own body that was now dead, or neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. It got to the place there was no hope. As far as humanly speaking, there was no hope. There was no hope of a child. There was no, listen, God allows us many times to get to those places in our lives. That there's no hope. There's no way I can get out of this. There's no way this is going to turn around. There's no way I can do anything. See, that's what God is wanting to do, is get us out of the way so he can have the glory in our lives. So he can move. Listen, this is what we've seen just recently in Brother Ron Spencer's life, as he got down to the last doctor on his eye appointment. And the last doctor tells him there's no cancer. What was it? Amen. It was God doing surgery. It was God moving on the scene. But it looked like no hope. I was actually telling this to Brother Jimmy Hall, just telling him, you know, about our meetings coming up, what we're doing, and talking to him maybe about serving some food for us. And I was just testifying of what God had done. I said, you know, you've heard that Brother Ron Spencer ministers, because he's been here before at a lot of our meetings. And let me tell you, he stands in the back and has the monitors on. He's watching. And he loves it. And he said, yeah, I remember him. He's the one with cancer. And yeah, and I just began to tell him about the eyeball and about the diabetes or the kidney situation, and how he got down to that last part. And the doctor does one last. He stopped me. He said, you know what the doctor didn't see? Brother Jimmy said, you know what the doctor didn't see? He didn't see that surgery that happened between point A and point B. He didn't see the intervention of God come on the scene. Listen, amen. Listen, your circumstances may look like there's no hope. But in the unseen, God is working, amen, for your good. God is moving. He is touching. He is anointing. He is moving angels into position. He's doing whatever he has to do to make sure his word is fulfilled in your life. Amen. So Isaac, you know, the fulfillment was Isaac was born, but it didn't end there. You know, it seemed like, oh, I got the baby now. Everything's fine. You know, but see, things begin to go further, and God asked him to take his only son up on the mountain to sacrifice him. Now, listen, Abraham had to see something different than most people could see. He had to be looking at things other than his own circumstances around him, because God wakes him up and says, go up into a mountain and go sacrifice Isaac. You know, the scripture doesn't say anything. Apparently, he didn't even question or anything, because it says he got up early. You know, he went there with anticipation that somehow God was going to work this out for his good. somehow God's word was still going to come. He said, see, when Abraham, when he got older, first thing you know, the little fellow was born, little Isaac, about 12 years old. When he goes out, God met him again. And Abraham, I know this is your child. You're to be the father of nations, but I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take him up yonder on the mountain, and I'll show you. I want you to take him there and offer up a sacrifice. Well, how is he going to be a father of nations? Seemed like the promise was given, but the circumstances are getting worse. And things are happening. How is this going to be? Now he's about 15 years old. And here's the only child he has. And a little fellow out there and take him out there and kill him. Abraham took the boy and some servants. He didn't tell his mother and just journeyed up into the wilderness. And he lifted up his head to the mountains afar off. And when he got close and away, he said, watch God's grace here. He said to the servant, he said, now you stay here while I and the lad go yonder and worship. And I and the lad will return. Come on, somebody. He was looking into the unseen realm. Because the word, the promise, amen, God had spoke to him and said, you got to take him up there and sacrifice him. So apparently he believed God, that if God wanted this done somehow, God was going to raise him back up again. Right? He had enough confidence in his God that God was not going to work anything for his bad. It's going to be for his good. And here he is. He goes up there and he said, I and the lad will return. How are you going to do it? You're going to take him up there and kill him. How are you going to bring him back? It's not my business to figure it out. God gave the promise and I received him as one from the dead. And God is able again to raise him up from the dead. Amen. That's the children of Abraham. That's their hope they have in him tonight. It doesn't matter how hopeless it is. It doesn't matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how impossible it may seem. God did it one time. God can do it again. Hallelujah. They took the little fellow and they put the wood on his back, very type of Christ. And he walks up the hill and he gets up to the top and he says, Father, you know, Isaac apparently been in church because he knew church order and knew some things that happened. He said, I see the wood and I see the altar, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham began to look at his only son, said, my son, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. Amen. God will provide it. He took his own son and he bound his hands and he looked there and he laid him there. And he said, was Abraham worried about it? He said, no. He knew God had swore it by an oath. And God was going to keep his covenant. God was going to keep his word no matter what the circumstances were. He said, why worry? He said, we don't have nothing to worry about. We don't have nothing to worry about. If God called us into his loving grace, if you've ever been born in the Spirit of God, how many has ever been born in the Spirit of God? How many is born in the, all right, well, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. Hallelujah. Amen, because you have eternal life. Come on, somebody. Temporary circumstances or eternal life, which one's worth more? Temporary problems are eternal life. Temporary sickness are eternal life. Temporary spiritual battles are eternal life. Yes. Hallelujah. You ought to be the happiest person in the world. Well, glory to God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm happy. All right. If you ain't happy, say it till you are happy. All right. You have eternal life. You cannot perish. Sickness cannot kill you. Demons cannot take you to hell. Hallelujah. Oh, they can torment you. They can scratch at your windows. They can knock. They can howl, but they cannot take you to hell. They cannot destroy your life. They cannot destroy you. You're sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. Now, up on the mountain there, he took his own son and he tied his hands behind him and laid him up on the altar and reached down, pulled out the knife, pulled the little fellow's throat back. Abraham wasn't playing church. Pulled his throat back, raised his hand up to stab his son to death. And about that time, the angel caught him by the hand. Holy Ghost said, Abraham, stay your hand. He said, listen, don't be scared to walk right down to the last row of life as long as you are with him. That's shouting grounds right there. Amen. Don't be scared to walk right down to the last moment, the last row of life, as long as you were with him, because God will be on the scene. He's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. He will make a provision. About that time, they heard something bleat, and there's a little ram hooked in the wilderness by his horns. Where did that ram come from? They was 100 miles from civilization. They were on top of the mountain. There was no water there. How did that ram get there? God was Jehovah Jireh. And if he was Jehovah Jireh, he's still Jehovah Jireh. So no matter what the circumstances is, he can provide a sacrifice at any time. Hallelujah. No matter what the circumstances is, he's Jehovah's Jireh. Amen. Look, it wasn't a vision. He walked up and picked the ram up, laid him up there, stabbed him with a knife, blood run out. That wasn't a vision he saw. That was actually a ram. It was Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. There he was, Christ. It wasn't a vision. The Lamb was spoke into existence in 1 minute and went out of existence in another minute. The same way that God made himself manifest in the flesh before Abraham and went out of existence in another minute. He's the same God. He's the same God. And someday these atoms of ours will break and go out and life will go out of this body. But the same God will speak it back to existence again. Hallelujah, because he's Jehovah Jireh. How will he do it? I don't know. That's his business. He said he would do it, and I believe him. He's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. No matter what it was, the lamb was there. He provided a lamb when he needed a lamb. Hello? When you're sick and you need healing, he'll provide for you. If you need salvation, he'll provide for you. If you need a revival, he'll provide for you. If the meal barrel's empty, he'll provide for you. If you're all downhearted and drooped over, God will provide for you. For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Doesn't matter. Age has no limits to God. Amen. David, you know, he was anointed king. Anointed king by the prophet. But he didn't go straight to the throne. No, he was hunted like an animal. He had a promise. But his circumstances seemed opposite. He ran for his, instead of a throne, he ran for his life. He hid in caves. He was hunted like an animal. But there was a fulfillment. He became king. Amen. So even Moses, you know, Moses came down. He was a deliverer, called to be a deliverer, but became a fugitive. Yeah. Amen. God called Moses to deliver Israel, but instead of delivering Israel immediately, he fled into Egypt and lived 40 years in the wilderness. But God was still orchestrating. It may not look like anything was happening. Yeah. Nothing going on. 40 years. Seems like maybe nothing's going on around 60-something years since the prophet left. But God's still orchestrating. God's still moving. God's still going to deliver his people. God's still going to get them out of this old Egypt. There's still going to be a third Exodus. Come on, somebody. Amen. It may look like all of us, well, that's getting worse, Brother Timothy. There's more wars. The gas prices are going up. This is happening. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. There's going to be a fulfillment of the unseen realm. Listen, Brother Branham went across the curtain of time and he saw those there, but there he saw them in that moment. Just like anyone else that crosses in their time of death, they go into that place. But that unseen realm is going to be seen one of these days. It's going to be seen. We're going to see the dead in Christ rise. We're going to see Jesus. Amen. And circumstances may not be saying we are, but that ain't got nothing to do with circumstances. We're going to be sitting on the throne. Amen. As it said there in Revelation 3, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me and my Father in my throne. We're going to be there. But circumstances may say otherwise, but it doesn't matter what circumstances say. It didn't matter in Moses, it didn't matter in David, it didn't matter in Abraham, it didn't matter in Joseph. Sooner or later, the promise became fulfilled. And it's going to be fulfilled in this day. Listen, preparation that God is doing often looks like delay. It often looks like nothing's happening. It often looks like, you know, well, I mean, surely if the promise, surely it would all, you know, what's happening? God's moving. That's what's happening. Things are happening in unseen realms. Even tonight, angels are gathering around. Angels are assembling themselves. Why? Because God is wanting to do things. God is wanting to maybe set somebody free, fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, heal somebody. And if we ain't careful, all we can see, well, it's a Wednesday night, rained all day. This is, I had this problem, had this issue. And we're not even catching it. God is moving. God is touching. God is trying to minister. God is trying to set somebody free. You know, Hannah prayed for a child, but remained barren. God heard her prayer. But her circumstances was the opposite. She was mocked and remained barren. But after praying, she believed God had answered. Well, how do you know she believed God? Well, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 18 says her countenance was no more sad.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So what is Scripture trying to tell us? If we're walking around all sad and beat down, we don't believe God. Just make it simple, right? I mean, because she was so mournful and mourning and all that. But then she realized, God has heard my prayer. And the Scripture says her countenance was no more sad. He said, Brother Bram said, like this, he said, if you notice when you're discouraged, that's when the devil likes to really pour it on you. That's when he tries to get you really down. If you come to church and say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I get any better or not. I've been praying. Oh, my, you might as well go home. That's all. But if you can just cast all of that aside. Cast it all aside. Say, God don't want you frowning. Well, burn hide. Burn my hide. God don't want you frowning. I always love that saying, Brother LaFontaine always said. He says, how many's happy? Well, then notify your face. Right? Amen. God doesn't want you frowning. I read another quote. Brother Bradham says, you know, he talked about how it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. He said, I think we ought to be real lazy. Just smile. Because it takes less effort. Be lazy. I like that. Got me a quote for it. God wants you to be happy. God wants the human heart. It was made to be happy. Worry caused cancer. Temper will cause cancer. He actually spoke, I read another quote just a while ago. He's talking about temper. He said it actually caused about 60% of your sickness. Wow. He said, don't ever be upset. Hallelujah. Just walk in his love. But know that you're walking with him. And with you, when you're with him, nothing can harm you. Nothing can harm you. There's nothing. There's no powers. There's nothing present, future. Nothing can separate us from him. We are in him. We never come by own will. We are his by his choice. He elected us and he brought himself to us to himself. And it's his business to take care of what he took himself. Oh my. And no man can pluck them from my Father's hand, he says. Hallelujah. I mean, that tells me there ain't a devil can do anything to get you out of his hand. He can bring every kind of thing against you. He can bring railing accusations. He can make brothers hate you. He can make people false accuse you. Ask Joseph. He can make people lie on you. Ask Joseph. Make all kind of things happen. But he can't take you out of his hand. That's enough to be happy about right now. Sickness blows through, I'm still in his hand. Depression comes over, I'm still in his hand. Demons of every kind try to blow against me and try to torment me and try to make blind battle, I'm still in his hand. As nothing can take me out of his hand. If you can get that revelation tonight that no matter what you're going through, it cannot take you out of his hand. He don't have enough devils. Because if he had enough, he'd bring enough. We heard that. If he had enough, he'd bring enough. But he doesn't have enough. He can't take one out of his hand. He can't make one fall. He can't cause one thing unless the shepherd allows it. It's gall in God's hands. No man can take them from my Father's hand because he's the greatest of them all. It's the Father who takes care of it. Who has got any more power than what God has? So what kind of power have you got over you? No, ain't got no power to take care of you. The whole power that created the universe, that took the solar system and said, whew. And now we look up there and we see stars after stars, an innumerable amount of stars. And that power went, whew, blew them out there, placed them in certain places. And they've never moved from the moment that he said, let there be. And they're still remaining. The sun, it was there today. We may not have seen it, but it was still there today. It still shined like it shines every day. Clouds were over. Its rain was coming. Thank God for the rain we got. The sun still was there. It still rose up. It still shone. It was still there. And it's the creative power of Almighty God when it, let there be light. And it still remains today. Amen. All the universe, all the solar system. And then they're looking in beyond our own galaxies and talking about how there's millions of other galaxies. And I would say it's almost infinite, if not infinite, the amount that goes out there. And they'll never get to the end of it because you'll never get to the end of God. And it's all in his place. And if one moves out of order, it'll cause chaos. But by his word, he keeps them in this order and they remain. Then he has a word about you, those that are alive and remain. And the devil wants to come and put circumstances on your life, wants to bring you and tear you down physically. Some of you in your elder years, he especially wants to pour it on you and bring all kinds of things and railing accusations against your body and tear you down and tear you down and cause you to get down in your body. Then that causes you to get down in your mind and causes you to get down in your spirit. But the devil cannot take you out of God's hand. And the promise is still just as real today. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. He's the Lord God that heals all our diseases. It has no bearing on age. Age has no limit to God. You can be 199 and God can still heal you. Doesn't matter. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in every day, he's the same. In every year of your life, he's the same. He's the same God. But Abraham, you know, just a man. As we read this the other night, I want to go over it again because it's a powerful. Just want to lay it back right again. He says, Abraham, he looked at things he could not see. When sight fails to produce it, faith is there to catch the place in the unseen realm and produce it. Faith is there. He said, we see that Abraham, he's not a young man when this happened. He was a 75-year-old, 100-year-old when the baby came. But God said, I chose you and I chose Sarah and you're going to have a child. Sarah had been barren all of her life, but it didn't matter. Old wrinkled woman, many years past her life was having a child. But he looked to the unseen and he said, when a man once catches that vision of the invisible God and knows God is always present. How many believes that tonight? He's present here tonight. How can you say that with such a surety? Because his word says he would be. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be. I believe we are gathered in his name. We're not gathered in some name of some denomination or some name of some religion or some name of some man. We're gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the mention of that name, every demon has to flee. Every sickness has to bow. Come on, Joseph. Every sickness has to bow. Listen, God has given a vision that this bride is going to walk with authority, with power. Amen. And with kingdom authority to walk over every devil. And when she walks, demons will bow down. And they'll bow at her feet. And they'll bow and say, I don't have no more power. Why? It ain't her. It's the God that lives on the inside of her. And she's fulfilling the vision that was spoken of her life. So when a man once catches that vision of the invisible God and know he's always present. So he's present when you're in church. He's present when you're not church. He's present in your car. He's present at your home. He's present on your job. He's present when you're sad. He's present when you're happy. He's present when you're sick. He's present when you're healed. He's present when you're up. He's present when you're down. He's always present. There's something that stabilizes that man's thinking. Whew. Lord knows we need some stable thinking in this world we're living in. This world is thinking is so unstable. Being fed stuff from the right and from the left, don't know what's right and left, same bird, two wings, same bird, same demonic bird. Brother Bram talked about it. He said the devil's in all the politics. He's in the right and he's in the left. Right? There's only one way to get in. Only one to be in. That's the right one. That's Christ. Amen. But here, we got so much unstable thinking in this world now. People don't know if they're a man or a woman. They don't know if they're up or down. They don't know if they're in or out. They don't know nothing anymore. They don't know what's true, what's not. AI is now prevalent to where it can show you videos like, wow, I can know a cat could do that. A cat can't do that. Right? That's incredible. I didn't know that could happen. It can't do that. That's all artificial intelligence. And it ought to show us something. And if we can see that in the seen realm, what has happened in the unseen? If the seen realm is becoming so powerful and so great, it's taking over men's minds and taking over their abilities to even think properly and clearly, and it's taking over every thought pattern that they can't even hardly judge what's right or what's wrong anymore, and they don't even know what's right or what's wrong. What's happening in the unseen realm? Amen. If there's an artificial intelligence, I ought to tell you there's a divine intelligence. If there's an artificial, there's got to be a real. And we get so enthralled about artificial intelligence, how it can do a math problem in 0.00 nanoseconds. Let me tell you, there's a God that can drive out cancer faster than AI can solve any math problem. There's a God that can turn somebody around so quick, so fast. One day a drunk, the next day a saint of God. Catch the unseen realm. If you need to stabilize your thinking, because our thinking, you know, Paul spoke about it, said, cast down reasonings and anything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God or the Word of God. Satan's always there trying the greatest battle ever fought in our mind to bring things. But if we can catch the unseen realm, it stabilizes his thinking. God's in control of this situation. Sometimes if we'll just step back for a moment and look at that and say, God's in control of this. Yes. Whew, all of a sudden, pressure goes down. Brother Aaron, God's in control of this. Yes, the devil's not in control. He don't have the final say over nothing. He doesn't have a final say over your body. He doesn't have a final say over your mind. He has no final say over your soul. He has the final say over nothing. God is the final say. It stabilizes your thinking. He said it stabilizes your actions. In a time of distress and trouble, it'll make you look upward and above the things that are happening around you because you're looking at the unseen by promise. Abraham, not only did he see the unseen, the reason he believed it was because God said it. He said, if we believe, being dead in Christ, we're Abraham's seed, and the spirit that was in Christ now dwells in us, it's the same thing. It takes every divine promise of God that's in his Bible, and it calls it present tense. Healing is present tense. Deliverance is present tense. And it rests there. But when you look with your eyes and you see that our nation is shaking and trembling and war clouds are flying everywhere and every nation's under distress and perplexed, what about oil? What about it? What about the body change? Every nation's under distress and perplexed of time. Every sign that Jesus said would happen is happening. Which, that shouldn't surprise us, right? There would be signs in the heavens above and the earth below, and great things are taking place. Flying saucers, mystic things. He commanded his church to lift up their heads in that day to look up, for the unseen Christ will be appearing anytime pretty soon. So if we only walk by sight, we would be children of darkness, sure enough, by now. But I'm so glad to know that there's a light that shines in every believer's heart unto that eternal day when Jesus shall return. Amen. Amen. But see, what happens here, you know, I want to go down just to catch this other spot here. He said, I'll tell you what I see. He said, I see a church going in a rapture. I see Jesus Christ coming for his bride. I see a little neglected bunch of people who are laughed at and made fun of. They're going to go in a rapture one day. And I would rather be with them than all the groups I know of in all the world. For by faith, we look to the unseen. Amen. I'll get down to this other spot here. Just so many good things here. But he speaks about, I want to go back to Elijah and Gehazi. And he said, he gets up that morning, he looks around, and he sees this army out there. Everything smashed around them. He's like, what is happening? What's going on? This great crisis has come all of a sudden. I wasn't ready for this. He said, which always does like that. Then when Gehazi, being just a lukewarm church member, notice where he places him, a lukewarm church member. When he had not seen what Elijah had seen, because Elijah was used to walking by faith, he was looking to the unseen all the time. He knew that God said in the Psalms, the angels of God are encamped about those that fear him. That was enough for Elijah. Well, can't that be enough for us? How many believe what the Bible says? The angels of God are encamped about those. Because there's angels around you. There's ministering spirits that are around you to help you through life journey, to help you through your circumstances, to help you through your sicknesses, to help you through your struggles, to help you through your torments, to help you through all that. That was enough for Elijah, but Gehazi just halfway believed it. Halfway. Lukewarm. Halfway. He was just a halfway church member. Lukewarm. So Elisha said to the Lord, Lord God, give a sign here. Just open this man's eyes and let him see. And when God opened his eyes, he saw horses of fire drawn by chariots of fire. Amen. And they were all around him, that old prophet. They were there all the time. He didn't just see them. They were there all the time. And tonight I say the same thing, that the God who stood yonder in the first book of the Acts, chapter of the book of Acts, and he was taken up and he said, lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you or forsake you. The works that I do shall you do also. I'll be with you even in the end of the world. I'm told, he said, by aviators who fly real fast jets. It begins to vibrate and shake as they go up. He said, what is it? It's a sound barrier. It's the seen world. He said, but there's an unseen. And if they can just get past that, amen, and get past those obstacles, then they would be able to fly faster and be able to go further. He said, and I believe if the church of this day would pray till they pass the sin barrier, pray till they get past the unbelief barrier, they could shout the victory of a living God when they once passed the barrier and they seen the unseen. Hallelujah. So it tells me that the unseen is not to just be seen by a prophet, but it can also be seen by you. Yes. Seen by Gehazi, when the prophet prayed for him, he apparently moved from a halfway believer to a full-time believer. there is a living God. He said, when we lose our disbelief and our unbelief in Him, think about it. Listen, there is a living God. And when we lose our disbelief and our unbelief in Him, and past that place that the world is saying the days of miracles are past, there's no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It makes you wonder. But if you'll look at the unseen, to the God that promised it, He said, the promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you look to the blessed word that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and turn your heads towards that and press on until you pass that little vibration, pass that unbelief barrier, pass the sin barrier, and all those things that seem to hinder you, then you'll fly free in the faith of God, knowing that all things are possible, and there's no limit, they say, to the speed that you can go. If there's no limit to the speed a plane will go, there's no limit to the blessings that God will pour down upon a believer that will believe. No limits. But we need to look to the unseen for stabilization in this unstable world. We need to be people who can see things more than what's just 5 feet in front of us or the day held. But we can look further than that and say, God is in control. And no matter the storms, no matter the winds, no matter the waves, God's in control. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's happening in my life. And let me read this quote. He says, now the stabilizers have been put on the ship. He said, great fearful waves are out there before us, but we just know beyond that wave yonder, there's a shore. Hallelujah. I seen something today, somebody had a real pretty picture of a sunrise. He said, we got it wrong. He said, it ain't one more day, it's one less day. Think about that. In this natural life, it ain't one more day, it's one less day. Well, I want to turn it just a little bit. It ain't one more wave, it's one less wave. It ain't one more sickness, it's one less sickness. It ain't one more moment of depression, it's one less moment of depression. It ain't one more moment of sorrow and things that you've dealt with in your life and things that you've held. It's one less moment. No matter, we're nearing the shore. We're nearing the shore. Just stay stable. Stay with the Word. Stay with God. No matter how you feel, what anyone else says, stay right with the Word. Stay stable. When you see those great big old clouds around, the storms are coming, atomic bombs, everything else they're talking about, but our stabilizer is right straight in the Word. God said it would be here. We will crest every one of them.
That's right.
Well, what about that big wave? We're going to go over it.
That's right.
What about that big trouble? You're going to go over it. What about that situation, Brother Timothy? You're going to go over it. We'll crest every one of them. Yeah, we'll go right over the top. They cannot seek us. They cannot drown us. You put us in the grave, we're going to come out again. That's just all there is to it. There ain't no way in the world to keep it down there. We will crest every one of them because our great chief captain is calling from the other side. Hallelujah. He said, let's go over to the other side. It doesn't matter what's around us. It doesn't matter the waves. It doesn't matter the sickness. Man, cancer is getting worse. People are here dying from it. It doesn't matter. It's one less cancer. It's one less disease. But let's grab a hold of one more promise. One more truth and say, God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to stay with you no matter what the circumstances. I'm going to stay on the ship.
Yes, sir.
That's what Paul told them to do. He said they were to have been 14 days drowning. He said, stay with the ship. Saw an angel. What did he see? Nobody else saw it. But he saw the unseen realm. He said, stay with it. And the Word is speaking again tonight. Stay with it.
Yeah.
Let the stabilizers come down and go into that Word and grab a hold of a promise.
Yeah.
Let that be your stabilization. Not if there's peace in the world. Because the Bible says they're going to say peace, peace, and there's going to be sudden destruction. So just because they started hauling peace, that doesn't mean nothing. Not for this world. It means something for me. Getting out of here. Got a ticket in my hand, got a token. We're leaving here. Come on, somebody. Just any moment, that dead, the dead in Christ is going to break through those realms and come into this realm, and we're going to step into that, and our body's going to be changed. Whew. AI can't do that. But divine intelligence can do it. Can move us from an old, frail, mortal body. One step. Whew. New again. What a day that's going to be. Let that stabilize your ship. Brother Timothy, things are going on in my life I can't handle. Good. Let God handle it. Let God take control. He's already been working on it. Don't worry about it. He's already arranging it for your good. He's already taking care of the details. He's already got it in His hands. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Let's bow our hearts. Faith in the unseen promise. Just because the circumstances get worse does not mean the promise gets less. It means it gets closer. Gets closer. Might be down to the last blood test. Might be down to the last doctor's appointment. Might be down to the last hope. I'm past bearing. With God, it doesn't, age doesn't matter to God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you'll believe Him, be no more sad. Rest in His word. God is in control of my situation, and I'm going to rest. God has His hand in my life. Many of you can look back, almost every one of us, no doubt, could look back, and we could definitely see God's hand as He saved us through situations. He worked things for our good, and we could see where we made mistakes and we made a mess, and somehow God come back around and He fixed it all up. Well, if He took care of your past, don't you know He's the God of your future? And He's got that in His hands, and He's got that in control. I mean, just say, Lord, I just want to rest in You tonight. Help me catch a glimpse of the unseen. To know, Father, that You've got my situation. Lord, You know, You've heard my cry. You've heard me crying out to You like Hannah or like Abraham, like Joseph. You've heard me. Now let me rest in the promise. Father, sometimes it's so hard, Lord, we get our eyes around us, we see circumstances and situations. Maybe the bank account going down, or bills need to be paid. Or things, Lord, sicknesses just on every hand, seems like it. Situations, just church situations, whatever, Lord. Get a little frown on our face. Depression starts setting in. Anxiety and fear. But Lord, tonight we want the stabilizer to be set down in Your word. Let us just rest in that. That no matter how big the wave, we're going to crest and go over. We're going to make it to the other side. Because we're going to be those that are alive and remain and go to the other side. Lord, bless these hands that were lifted all over this building. My hand too, Lord. Sorry for my unbelief. Sorry for doubting You. Just ask, Lord, that You'll just come now and just let Your peace settle over us, over every heart, Lord, tonight. Satan's been warring with some of them during the night, causing them where they can't rest or sleep. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come with torment and dreams, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Oh God, let the peace of God just flow down through every heart. Peace. In Jesus' name we pray.
got it all in control.
He's got it all.
Oh, yes. He's got it all in control.
Oh, in control.
That reassurance way out in
my soul. Thank you, Jesus.
He's got it all. My trust.